My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Yes, we're all going to face physical death, but Jesus brings us eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. Now, one of the things that Jesus was also convinced about was the need to hear God's Word. Jesus was convinced that people would not be saved unless they listened to the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus there illustrated, we need to take heed what we hear. We need to be very careful that we hear the Word of Almighty God. In Mark chapter 9, at the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is there with Peter, James, and John, and He is transfigured before them. Elijah and Moses are there as well. And we know that in that context, that Peter, he says, Lord, it's good to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. Before he even gets the words out of his mouth, a voice boomed down from heaven saying, this is My beloved Son. And thus we learn that Jesus and His words are what we need to listen to today. Why do we need to listen to the Word of God today? Because that's what I'm going to be judged by in the last day. I want you to think about John 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, that's what's going to judge him in the last day. And so, friend, it's important that we hear God's Word. In Revelation 2 and 3, there's an overriding statement or a repetitive statement Jesus uses to get those Christians' attention. He says, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus' point is, you have ears, use them to hear My Word. We need to be like those in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 who search the Scriptures daily to see if what they're being taught was true. We need to be good students of the Bible and make sure that we're following God's will. This is why Paul told Timothy, a young evangelist, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. This is why Christians are told in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, you need to be ready always to give an account, a reason for the hope that is within you with meekness and with fear. And so we come to the Word of God. We realize that it's God's inspired Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Peter said that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we know this is the Word of God, and we know that it's the only voice that we can hear on matters of salvation. We don't need to listen to what religious leaders say. We don't need to follow necessarily what men say today unless they're backing it up by the book, chapter, and verse of the Bible, unless they're backing up by Scripture. And so we must be very careful what we hear and that we hear attentively. Jesus was also convinced of God's protective care for His children. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said this. Jesus said, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. Jesus was convinced that if we became Christians and if we remain faithful to God, that we would be cared for in this life. Friends, this is a principle that we need to impress upon our minds, that God is going to care for and that He's going to protect those who are His children. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God has promised that He's going to take care of us, that He's going to give us those things we need to survive in life. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching people not to worry about food and shelter and clothing and things of this life. Jesus said if you put your treasures in the right place, they'll bring great benefits. And He said this, don't worry about food, shelter, and clothing. But He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. Not our wants, not our desires, not every wish that we have, but God is going to supply, take care of our needs. And so we need to be convicted of the fact that God is going to provide for us. He's going to care for us. He is not going to leave us or forsake us. I can't help but think of the words of Hebrews 13, verse 5. the Hebrew writer says that we are not to be covetous, not to be caught up in this world's goods, but we're to realize that the Lord has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall man do to me? If God has promised to always care for us and always be with us, then we can truly say, God will never forsake us, and what can man do to us to harm us if God is for us? Another principle that Jesus was convicted of, Jesus was convinced of the power of prayer. Not just the need for prayer, but the power of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, ask, and you shall receive. Knock, be open to you. Seek, you shall find. Jesus there taught us that if we ask, and of course if it's according to the Word of God, 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, then it will be given to us. Matthew 21, verse 22. We need to be people today who are convinced of the power of prayer. God does hear our prayers if we're righteous. We know that that is the case, but God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. Psalm 66, verse 18, Psalm said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But God does hear the prayers of the righteous, and He is wanting to help and answer those prayers as they are according to His will. And so we know that Jesus was convinced of the need to ask, and it would be given to us. You know, sometimes maybe we don't receive the blessings in life. Maybe we don't receive the help that we need because we fail to ask. It's true that God knows what we need before we even ask. But we have to do the asking. We need to petition God's throne for help in time of need so that we might find grace and comfort in those times. Another principle that Jesus was convicted of, Jesus was convinced of the all-inclusive nature of eternal life. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus repeated similar sentiments when he said, if any is laborer heavy laden, Jesus said, come on to me, all ye who are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, the Bible says that God wants all men to be saved and to come to an understanding of the truth. And so salvation is all-inclusive. Jesus did not just die for the Jews. Jesus tasted death for every man. Hebrews 2 verse 9. God wants us all to be saved, as 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says. And so salvation is all-inclusive. Jesus died so that anyone anywhere could have the hope of eternal life. That hope is the joy that we have of knowing that after this life, we can be with God for all eternity. As we think about the all-inclusive nature of salvation, we need to know that salvation has been offered through Jesus so that we can be saved from sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, that's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The salary of sin, what is it? It's spiritual death. Genesis chapter 3, death came upon Adam and Eve, both physical and spiritual in that sense. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 18:4, that the soul who sins, that person is going to die spiritually. But Jesus gives us life after sin if we're willing to obey Him and follow His will. Paul makes it abundantly clear in the book of Romans that it's the gospel of Christ that is the power of salvation. And if we're willing to contact the blood of Jesus through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and our enactment in that, in our dying to sin, being buried with Christ in baptism, and rising to walk in a newness of life, Romans 6, 1 through 4, we can have the same hope of salvation. Friend, Jesus was convinced of the things we've mentioned today enough that He was willing to go to the cross and give His life so that we can have the hope of going to heaven. Today we ask you, are you convinced of God's will and His desire for you to go to heaven enough that you'll obey that? Remember, it's not just everybody. who says, Lord, Lord, that's going to heaven. It's those who do the will of the Father. And so what does Jesus teach we've got to do to be saved? Friends, salvation is something that we can read and we can understand. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, or Ephesians 4 verse 3, that when we read, we can understand God's will. Paul said in Ephesians 5 verse 17 that we should not be ignorant, but understand the will of the Lord. Jesus taught us that we could know the truth, and the truth would make us free. John chapter 8 and verse 32. What must a person do to be saved? Acts chapter 16 verse 30, that question is asked. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is very clear. One must first hear the word of Almighty God. We've got to hear what God says on the matter of salvation. As we think about hearing God's word, we need to remember passages like Romans 10 verse 17, where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We've got to listen to the voice of God, which is found today for us in the Bible. And once we hear the word of God, then we've got to be so convinced that that is the word of God and that it is true that we're willing to believe in the message of Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman were going along the road in the chariot. They came to a certain water, and he said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And do you remember the condition? If you believe with all your heart, you may. A person's got to believe with all his heart that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior. And then he's got to be willing to make some changes in his life. If we're going to be saved, we have got to repent of sin and turn our life over to God. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, Peter said, repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We learn from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that repentance is not necessarily a rending of the garments. Joel said, rend your hearts, not your garments. It's a change of the mind, a change of the way of life that leads to a change, or a changed will that leads to a changed way in life. I'm willing to say to myself that the way I've been living is not right. That way is not pleasing to God. I'm willing to stop doing that which is wrong and start doing that which is right. Then I must have the faith to confess Jesus before men as the Son of God. Matthew 10 verses 32 and 33 and Romans 10 verse 10 teaches that we with the mouth must make confession unto salvation. And then a person must obey God by being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. Every account that you see in the book of Acts, people hear God's word, they believe in Jesus as the Son of God, they're willing to change their life and confess Him as the Savior, and they're willing to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Think about the example of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Here Peter responds to their question, sirs, what must we do, or what shall we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of eternal life. Peter makes it clear that baptism was for the remission of sins. John chapter 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus made it clear that if we don't obey God in baptism, we're not going to be in the church and we're not going to go to heaven. And so today we hope the convictions of Christ will help you to be convicted that God's way is the only way to live.